24, 3 through 12, I'd rather go to a lively church than a dead. Amen. Matthew 24. You say, preacher, you believe all them people shouting that they love the Lord? I can just tell you this, it's better than what they used to be doing. Amen. Matthew 24. Amen. You think that's real? I tell you, it's realer than what they used to do. Amen. Amen. Matthew 24. Let's start with verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Father, help us today.
Yes, sir.
Help me, Lord. I pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me power, Lord. Put a guard at my lips. I wouldn't say anything I shouldn't, but give me liberty. And, Lord, there might be somebody here discouraged, needs a little encouragement. Lord, there's a lot of them going through trial and tribulation. Lord, they need to feel your presence. And then others, Lord, that are looking for power to go out and do what you've called them to do, I pray you'd empower them. And then, Lord, for those that wanted to be here and couldn't be here, sickness, things like that, I pray you'd have mercy on them. If they're just being lazy, you convict them.
Yes, Lord.
And then, Lord, I pray today that if there's one among us doesn't know you, is their personal Savior, not the Savior, but their Savior, that today they'd receive you as their Savior and be born again. Now, Lord, it's terrible times we live in and good times at the same time. So help us, Lord, to be wise. And whatever we do, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you read Matthew 23, you'll see where Jesus had just preached a stern warning to the Jews. And he said, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. And how they had turned from the God of their fathers. He just preached to them. They hadn't heard from God in 400 years and they hadn't missed it. They hadn't missed it. They hadn't felt God's presence in 400 years until John the Baptist walked on the scene, and they hadn't missed it. He warned that there's an accounting day coming. There's an accounting day. And we need to warn you, there is a day to give accounting for us. Amen. Amen. And after leaving the temple, his disciples wanted to know more about the temple. They kind of showed off the temple, and they said, Lord, you ever looked at this? You ever considered this? And the blessings of God from the Jewish people. And Jesus said, that's all in the past. Let me tell you what's coming. And I think pastors and preachers, evangelists, every once in a while, ought to stand up, cry loud. They ought to warn people. They ought to warn people. I'm glad that they warned me. Amen. And so I got to thinking about that this week. I went to another high school graduation and was shocked at the liberalism that's even been put into our high school seniors and what the things they'll say. I was shocked, you know. And I went to a good one the other week in Georgia where a boy gave his testimony and warned everybody they need to come to know Christ as he knew Christ, and they gave him standing ovation for him. And so we're in the best of times, we're in the worst of times. Probably right now, and I heard it on the news this morning, these are the greatest times financially and monetarily and jobs since I was 10 years old. Since I was 10 years old. Most of you old people like me, you remember back in those days, you quit a job here and go down the street and get you another one same day. Same day. If you got mad at that one, you can leave next week and get you another one. They wanted help, and now I hear there's 1 million jobs in America that nobody wants to fill. That's a great time, amen? But at the same time, our churches are barren, dry. If they're not barren and dry, they're worldly and carnal. And so it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. And the disciples thought, well, this is a good time. We have Jesus here with us. Let's talk about this wonderful temple that God had us to build and all the great times that happened here. And he didn't put that down. He said, but I need to tell you something else. I need to tell you something else that's coming. There's a lot of people shouting and dancing today at church. And the lights are flashing. And they're enjoying their salvation. If they have it, they're enjoying it. And I don't put them down for enjoying their salvation. We do here. We just don't do it worldly. But I'm not against anybody enjoying their salvation. But I've got news for you. It ain't over yet.
Amen. That's right.
And there's some things coming down the line that we need to warn people of.
Amen.
And you can't do it wearing a t-shirt that says Jesus saves.
Amen.
You can't do it wearing a hat that says John 3:16. That doesn't warn anybody of anything. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And your little keychain that says Jeremiah 33:3 may be wonderful for you, but that little cash register girl ain't got a clue what that says. And so Jesus says, I need to tell you something else. So in verse 6, he says this, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and I'm going to go ahead and read it, whether you're there or not. You can just mark it down. Because if I wait on you, everybody's going to get mad because they got in line behind the Methodists at lunch today. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now you listen to me. There's coming a day, and we're in it, that there's a great departure from the faith once delivered unto the saints. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it started about 4 generations ago. Bad people infiltrated our Bible colleges, our seminaries, our Christian colleges, and then it went from there. They infiltrated the high schools and on down everywhere. They've infiltrated the churches, and their bad people have destroyed what good people built in faith. Bad people have destroyed what good people built by faith. Just think of the people that have sacrificed and they've given and they've worked and they've prayed to do great things for God. And a generation later, some little pussy-footing, pink tea and lemonade pastor comes out of a seminary that didn't teach him anything, and he's got him a rainbow flag on for a sash. I'm not against it. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. But, you know, they have crept in unaware. And they've destroyed our church. They've destroyed them with worldliness and carnality. And but it shouldn't surprise us because Jesus said, I want you to know this. There's coming some bad times. And then God inspired there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. They're going to depart from the faith. And bad people is going to destroy what good people build. Would you say that's the day we live in? The Adventist church ain't nothing but a museum or a mausoleum. And guess what? They'll take a good old-fashioned church that people sacrificed and prayed and worked to build, and they'll tear it all to pieces and make it look like a nightclub. They'll paint the ceilings black and the walls black. They'll close off the windows, and they'll put up flashing lights and all that stuff, and they give you earplugs when you go in the door. That should make you want to turn around and leave right there.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus says it's coming. Last days. It's coming. Departure from the faith. Do you know why some of you drive 40 miles to get to church?
Praise you, Lord.
You pass 25 churches. And it's not that we're better than anybody else. It's not that we're smarter or more intelligent. It's just that somebody crept in where you used to go and they destroyed what you had.
Come on now.
And the average Christian college, I don't know what we even talk about.
Right.
Number 2. You still with me?
Yes.
All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now I know Matthew 24, he's talking about the days right before the second coming, not the rapture. I know that. But if it's this bad now,
we must be awful close to the second coming, not even counting the rapture. We're that much more close. But if you look at me, look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, that means they want what you have. Boasters, brag about what they got. Proud, they work their way up. Blasphemers, say God didn't do it. Disobedient to parents. Woo, we might want to just stop right there for a little while. Unthankful and unholy. Now I want to park. Now all that other stuff's true, but I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and look at this. Verse 12, he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You want to know why we're losing our country? Because they're not honoring their father and their mother.
Amen.
See, we're too old-fashioned. We're the dinosaurs. And it, disobedience to parents. Now, let me tell y'all something. My kids are grown. I got grandkids now. And I tried to be a good father. I might have whipped them sometimes I shouldn't. I might not have when I should have. I might have yelled when I should have whispered. But my kids were obedient to me. And they didn't talk to my wife like she was stupid.
Amen.
And I see so much of that nowadays.
Come on now.
And I'm going to tell you, you bring kids in here and you only give me an hour, 45 minutes to straighten them out, and I can't do that. And you want to blame the school. And you want to blame the government. You want to blame all these other things. But since the family unit was created by God in the garden, the devil has attacked. They didn't have no schools. Now, everything except Bible teaching churches teach our children wrongly.
That's right.
Come on now.
From the cartoons to the college.
Yes.
You know how to stop that? Stop it.
Yes.
Fellow went to the doctor one day. He said, "Doctor, I got this twitch. I just can't quit." He said, "How long you had that?" He said, "I've been doing this for about 6 months." He said, "Can you help me?" He said, "Yeah, quit that." Quit letting your youngins look at it, you big dummy. Quit letting them be there. Quit letting them be exposed to it. You're the one that's in charge. But I can't do a thing with my children. You're lazy. As long as I weigh more than they do. As long as I buy their food. As long as I put a roof over their house. They do what I say. You ain't mad at me, are you? I don't care if you are or not. Listen, here's the problem. It's not the school. My wife retiring this year because of paperwork and politics. A lot of school teachers are Christians. They love children. She loves children. She can't think of anything she'd rather do than teach. But the politics and the paperwork has her working 60 hours a week. She works most Sundays and Saturday and at night. Paperwork and politics. And she loves all that, and she's going to retire and go back part-time just teaching something where there's no paperwork or politics involved 3 days a week, maybe. Loves children, loves teaching. Most school teachers, you'd have to be called to teach the generation that's in school today. Or they'd all be dead. Of course, God never expected worldly systems to teach our children. You hear me? God never expected worldly systems to teach our children. That's our job. Amen. Say amen right there. And our grandchildren too. And it's a sorry generation we're living in that won't raise their own children. It's hard work raising children. That's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Y'all fix to have another baby son? God help you.
Yes.
Then when they turn 12, straight jacket.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But God put that burden on me and you, not the school teacher. Here's what I expect school teachers to teach. Read, write, and arithmetic. And they really ain't got time to teach anything else. I better go. And then you send them off to a college that's full of reprobates and perverts, and you expect them to come out right? That's the child that's coming back to the church to take over one day. How do you expect the church to turn out? Oh, I thought you was going to preach against the Russians. The Democrats are doing enough of that. Amen. I ain't worried about no stinking Russians. Amen. We got enough bombs to take care of them and Chinese too. Amen. I thought you were supposed to be peace and love. Love it. I love them. I want them all to get saved, but if they don't, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read you verse 9 in Matthew 24. He says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Are you with me? "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." What does he say do? "From such turn away." Amen. You know what he says there? Despisers of good. You know what used to be called good is now called bigoted. Right. You know what used to be called good is now called bad. Yeah. You know what used to be bad is now called good. Yeah. I love everybody. I hope everybody's got something to eat, something to drink, something to wear, a place to live. If they don't, I'd be glad to help them. But I don't have to agree with your stinking lifestyle to do that. I can love you in your sin, hoping to get you out of your sin. But I'm not going to celebrate your sin with you. I'm not walking to your parade. I'm not wearing your sash. I'm not commemorating anything. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. You need to get ready. I love you enough to tell you that and not be afraid to tell you that, because if I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you. You know why I don't go to your house straighten out your youngins? I love my youngins. I'll tell them to quit hanging around with yours. Yeah, I will. If yours is bad, I'll straighten mine out. I ain't coming over to straighten yours out. I just say don't go over there. Despisers of good. Have you ever noticed how Bible fundamental Christianity is now hated by most Christians?
Amen.
They call what we believe hate speech. It ain't going to be long. They aren't going to let you put that on Facebook or Twitter or Tweeter or Weeder or whatever else you're putting on. You can't talk about hell. That's hate speech. You can't talk about judgment. That's hate speech. You can't talk about holiness. That's hate speech. You can't talk that there's a final authority and there is a right and there is a wrong. That's hate speech. Despisers of those that do good. In America, you listen to me, in America, this country, I don't care what the liberal teacher, the professor at college taught you, this country was not founded on bigotry or hate. This country was founded by people that loved Jesus Christ, and they wanted to evangelize the heathen. And they say we killed them all and all that stuff. No, sir. Not the real America. Sure, there was some of that. Sure, and there's some still. It ain't like it was when I grew up, though. I remember the white-only water fountain. I remember the white-only restaurant. I remember this. Hey, I remember segregation. And these young kids growing up, black, white, red, yellow, brown, polka-dotted, they think that's still going on. Well, I got news for you. Ask somebody that was there when that did go on. That ain't it better? It's better. I'm not saying it's not all right. It's not. As long as you have people, you're always going to have some wrong. But don't call good bad. The church is what made it better. I'm talking about the real church. And the church, the real church, real believers in Christ and followers of Christ are the people that built this country. And they built the greatest hospitals. And they built the greatest orphanages. And they built the greatest charitable organizations. And bad people came in and messed it up. Don't call good bad just because bad took it over. It wasn't bad when it started. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Go ahead. Matthew 24, look at verse 12. I'm just trying to unload today, okay? Look at verse 12. And this, the gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 tells us what's going on right now, though. Even though the end is coming, even though we're in that part, let me tell you something. Listen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Traitors, heedy, high minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Did you know that church that Jesus Christ built, and it was handed down from generation to generation to generation, and the bad people crept in, and they've corrupted it, and they've defiled it, and now it's more about pleasure than it is preaching. Yes. And it's more about pleasure than it is praying. It's more about pleasure than it is serving others. Yes. Come on.
Yes.
And that's the day we're living in.
Yes.
Now, did you know that they hate us because we have devotion more than we have pleasure?
Yes.
They make fun of us because we're more devoted to Christ than we are ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
Well, Pastor, you can't say that. People won't come. Well, if that runs them off, they might as well stay on gone. Because look, pleasure is not what we're seeking today. We're seeking fellowship with the Father.
Amen.
And did you know that's not always pleasurable? Go back and read your Bible. When God showed up, most of the time it threw them on their face, and they were weeping and crying and groaning and moaning because of their sinful condition. And they acknowledged that before a holy God.
Amen.
And then the pleasure of His presence came. But now they want pleasure in presence. Well, there's so much I could say on that. Did you know love for Christ has been replaced in our churches and in our homes?
Yeah.
Amen. The Laodicean church put him outside. Go back and read it. He said, stand outside the church. We use it for people's heart door, and I know what you use it for, but he's standing outside the church and he's knocking on the door, and he said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And he said, if any of y'all in there hear me and invite me in, I'll come in, but I'm not opening the door. You're going to have to open. Laodicean church put him out, and I think most churches he hadn't been back in. I think if the Lord showed up in the average church today, and I'm talking about Baptist churches, I don't know anything else. I've never been anything else. If you want to talk about Methodists, there's Hall Roy and his family, and they grew up Methodists, had some good people, and bad people stole it from them. Ain't that right? Voting on all this stuff. And some of you others grew up Presbyterian, and you had something good, and bad people stole it from you. Are you still with me? Some of you folks grew up in good Southern Baptist churches. I got saved in one. I went to one. And bad people stole it from us. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
And now in the independent churches, they're getting stolen. It's getting stolen, even in the independent churches. Why is that, preacher? Because it's the last days.
Yes.
He said there's some terrible things going to happen. And the church is even going to lock him out. Did you know if you picked up this book in the average Baptist church nowadays and started singing out of this, there wouldn't be two or three people there that knows how to sing your song?
Amen.
And they say, those songs are too hard. So they sing, Jesus is my boyfriend.
Yes.
He's not your boyfriend. He's your Savior.
Amen.
He's not your girlfriend. He's your Savior. Amen. He expected to be honored and worshiped in holy worship.
Yes.
If you don't do that, you're going to lock him out.
Yes.
He'll leave your church.
Yes.
By the way, same thing as your house. He'll leave your house
yes.
too.
Right.
And that's the day we live in. Sometimes I wonder as pastor, and I've been at this thing since 1982, and sometimes I wonder as it gets worse, how many people even read the Bible anymore? And I've seen your little Facebook posts, and thank God you can put a verse on there and do something. But how many really read the Bible? The average church member has never read the Bible through the day we live in. You know that sense? You know that. And then if they do, which Bible they read? They're reading one of watered down. Brother Danny said he went to church over here on Main Street the other day. I'm not going to call it the name of it, but I'll tell you it's on Main Street. And he said he went down there and said the pastor started reading out of Scripture. And he said after about three or four verses, he just gave up. He said because the pastor would read about half of what was in his King James Bible and his verse would run out. And then he'd read some more and just be a little tiny bit of what the Scripture ought to be, and then it would run out. Somebody done took a penknife and was cutting parts of the Bible out. And this man is supposed to be a pastor who went to a seminary and is working on his second PhD is supposed to be preaching the Bible. Danny said, I just closed up my Bible. But no use. You think the Lord's there? Now, a lot of people get upset at us. We've had several people over the past few years get mad because they were raised Pentecostal or something, you know, and they come in here and the Spirit get to bless you, you know. We've got the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, and they like that. And then I start preaching, and I start preaching stuff like this, and they've been going to those, I don't even know what, Mickey Mouse type church services, and the preacher preached a little bit, and they sing the rest of the time or whatever, and they get mad and leave. But I've got news for you. You find you an old-fashioned, Bible-believing Baptist
Amen.
Church,
Amen.
And you'll get fed. You won't get mad
Amen.
If you're willing to let the Lord in. Don't lock him out.
Amen.
Man, I done run out of time, but I'm preaching. I'm just going to go ahead and preach, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 says that they are denying the power of God. Now I know a lot of you have had addiction problems, and boy, probably everybody in here has got some kind of addiction problem. You're too fat, you're too skinny, you sleep too long, you don't sleep enough, you take too much medicine, it just goes on and on. But some of you came out of lifestyles of drug addiction, alcoholism, things like that. And you're pretty adamant about what you believe. But let me tell you something. A little worldly study didn't deliver you from that. The power of God did. I thank God for programs that help people not to be drunks and help them not to be drug addicts. And look, if you're not a Christian, you go to one of those and they help you be a good father, a good wife, or just a good citizen, we're all better off. Thank God they're there, they can help you. But I'm going to tell you, a real Bible believer's got a one-step program. He turned to Jesus, and he got born again, and he gave him a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, a new name, a new home, a new family, a new life, everything. We became new creatures that day. And I'm not against you if you're struggling with addictions. We all do something. But I'm telling you this, you've got to have the power of God to be delivered from that. God has to supernaturally intervene in your life. Just reach down there and say, "Whoop! I'm going to turn that button off." Whoop, there you go, fixed. Come on. I better go. But see, people deny the power of God. And they deny the power of godliness, he said. Denying godliness. They deny it. They say, well, you can be saved, but you ain't no better than anybody else. You ain't going to live no different. Yes, you will live different if you get saved. It's called godliness. You'll become like God. He'll come in you, and he'll give you power to live a life you couldn't live before. That's called godliness.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes. You don't hear that word much anymore, no more than holiness or sanctification. But now they deny that. They say, and I understand what you say when you testify, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, kept by grace. Amen. We are. But we don't have to live in disgrace. God delivers us from that stuff. And did you know the power of your godliness affects other people, that they might see Christ in you, the hope of glory? And they say, boy, if I could just get what she's got, I'll be all right. I can get some of that. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Y'all looking at me like Presbyterians. In Luke 21, if you turn over there with me, Luke 21... Look at verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the seas and the waves roaring in men's hearts, failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. There's a distress of nations. Now, I want you to listen real close, and if that thing's on Facebook, I want whoever that is to listen real close. I do believe that there's going to be a climate change, but I don't believe we're living in climate change. Now, climate's always changing. But we've got a real rainbow that tells us all that's not going to happen again. Next time it's with fire. But in the last days, there's going to be earthquakes. All kinds of stuff. And listen, it's going to get so bad that men's hearts will be failing them. Heart attacks for fear. You know, every time there's a volcano or earthquake, the Bible says hell enlarges itself. It's having to move over to put more people in hell. The heart of the earth. Now, so there's distress of nations coming. Now, Brother Ron, what causes that distress is the contention that the name of Jesus Christ brings. See, the Muslim nations don't hate you because you're white. That's what liberals think. And they think you hate them because they're brown. They don't have anything to do with it. The Muslim nation hate America and any other nation that follows Christ because of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, if you meet most Muslims 101, they're nice people. But their doctrines and their teachings and their followers and those that preach it and teach it, they hate us because of Jesus Christ. That's it. Well, if we just solve that Palestinian problem, you're not going to solve that till Jesus comes back, because they want what belongs to him and his people. And he's going to cast them out. Now, there's distress among nations, not because of what color we are. And by the way, in America, we're all color. Amen. I did one of those ancestry things. My daughter paid for it, and I did a little spit test, you know, and they checked my DNA, you know. And despite popular opinion, I wasn't divinely conceived. They said I was like 60-something percent European. Which I'm not ashamed of that. Old European, old white man, I'm not ashamed of that. And then it was 20-something percent Irish there, you know, Scotch-Irish people. And then it was 1% Congo. And I said, well, that's where I got my rhythm from, that 1% Congo. I'm right there with you, Brother Leroy. I'm right there with you. I'm not ashamed of that. I wouldn't care if I was 67% Congo and 1% European. That doesn't have a thing to do with who I am. I am in Christ Jesus. And that's what they hate. The stress of nations. By the way, it's going to get worse. And the Mexico thing is not about race. You'll find out when voting time comes what it's really all about. Amen. I better go. Look at Luke 21, 29 and 30. And I'm almost through. I see some of you looking at your watches. Luke 21, 29 and 30. And he spake a parable unto them, behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own self that summer is now nigh at hand. I don't have time to get in all this because I run out of time, but that fig tree in the Bible represents Israel.
That's right.
Yes.
And he said, when that thing starts blooming, get ready.
That's right.
Something's fixing to happen. And
he
says, summer is now nigh at hand. Now, summer's not a bad thing. I love summer. I know some of you folks, every time it gets 68 degrees, you burn up.
Right.
You need to get you some pills or something. I was standing at the post office the other day mailing a letter, and this lady from, she was a foreigner. I think it was New Jersey or New York. But she said, what do you think about this weather? She said, it's drizzling rain out there. And just up Ebenezer Road where I live, there's not been any rain. I just looked there, it's South Carolina. It's June. It's 97 degrees. Praise God. Get used to it. But summer to me is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And so he's saying something good is going to happen when that fig tree blossoms. Now you and I know that the Jewish people have been downtrodden, but they're starting to rise and go back home. Now I know American TV doesn't show much stuff like this, but if you'll get to watching, there's all kind of places you can watch this stuff now. Jews are moving from Northern Africa. They're moving from America. They're moving definitely from Europe, where the Nazism stuff's rising back up. By the way, that's all liberal democracy is, Nazism. And they're rising back up, and they're going, and they're flooding the homeland. They're going back to Israel, and they're reclaiming it. And like the Bible prophesied, they're turning the deserts into oases. Growing stuff where things couldn't ever be. Because if you sit around in a tent all the time, wait for your camel to do something, you ain't going to have nothing to grow. Amen? So they went over there and they replanted. And look, that place starting to bloom. Did you know they're the number, I think it's number five most powerful country in the world, and they're only that big on the map. You know, nobody can defeat them other than us. Nobody. And God's taking care of them, and he's taking them back to the promised land. But they've been downtrodden, but they're going home, and they're reclaiming their promised land, and they're praying for a Savior to come.
Amen.
I saw the other day where they've rebuilt all the furniture to go in the temple. They've rebuilt it. They're waiting to move back to that Temple Mount. The only reason they haven't is that perverted mosque is sitting up there where the temple ought to be. It won't take nothing but an earthquake to crumble that little old thing. But they're waiting to move back there, and they're praying for a Savior to come, and they want to rebuild the temple. Now you say, well, they're not saved. No, they're not saved. But let me tell you something. When the Lord reveals himself, the Bible says a nation will be saved in a day. Now they're looking for the Savior. They missed him the first time. Yes, they did. Yes, as a nation. A lot of individual Jews have followed him and found him. But as a nation, they're looking for the Savior to come. They're looking to rebuild that temple. And I'm going to close Matthew 24 again. Look at verse 40. Matthew 24, verse 40. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. You see that? Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen, amen. Now in this picture, he's coming back on a white horse riding. It's going to say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to have a sword. Amen. We're looking for the trumpet. Now, if we're this close to that coming, how much closer are we to the second coming, to the rapture? 7 years we're closer.
Amen.
Now you listen. We must be ready. Nobody can make you ready. It's a personal thing. And look, you said, and a lot of people say this, when's he coming? And they ask him that. He's coming when he wants to.
Amen.
Well, tell me when he's coming so I can get ready. You better get ready anyway, he's coming. No man knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven. Only the Father knows that. He's going to look at him one day and say, all right, it's time. Go get him. Go get him. And the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ to be raised first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, comfort one another with these words. Well, why would you need comfort? Because the terrible times you're going to be in before that happens.
Amen.
The economy's looking good, but Christianity ain't looking real good. Jobs are bountiful, but real labors for the Lord are few. Amen. Amen. What was called good is now called bad. People that were good are now called bad people. And that tells me he's coming. I hope he comes before we leave here. Wouldn't you like to get caught in church on that day? Well, if he don't come back tonight, he may come tonight. Or maybe Wednesday night. He might have marked that down somewhere on his calendar. We're going on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because that's when all the Baptists lay out of church. We want to catch them unawares. Amen. But seriously, March 5th, 1978, about 12:15, 6 pew on the left-hand side, the 300 verse of Just As I Am, without one plea. I walked down that aisle, and I received him as my Savior, and he stamped my ticket. I've been ready ever since. And I've been looking. I want him to come. I used to didn't want him to come. Now I want him to come. You say, well, what about old so-and-so? Ain't you worried about them? That ain't my place. I care about them, but I can't save them. They have to get ready. And I want to take as many as I can with me, but in the end, I'm responsible for my ticket.